Morning, church. It's good to see all of you this morning. I'm very thankful you're here. We're starting a new series this week as we go through the month of December together and go through this Christmas holiday together. We've called this series Christmas According to Luke. So we're going to spend the next 4 weeks in the first few chapters of the book of Luke. Hopefully the screen doesn't blow your mind as there's just going to be tons of words up there. The backdrop is the second chapter of Luke there, I believe. So we're going to be in Luke for a few weeks and this wonderful, powerful story of the incarnation of God, of the God of the universe, that he came and became one of us so that we might be free and might have new life. But let me start by sharing just a couple of things with you, a couple of important things. First of all, in a few weeks, on December the 21st, we're going to attempt to have a large Sunday up here to really have a gospel presentation to you, your friends, to your family, to your coworkers. It's the first time we're going to do two services up here at the Rocky Mount campus. And so we're expecting God to do great things. We're asking him to seek and save the lost in our lives, in our communities. And so take this opportunity. I can promise you this, it's not going to be one of those weird or spooky Sundays. I know some of you have told me in the past, why is it every time I invite a friend, you do something strange? I don't mean to do that, but I guess it happens sometimes. Here's what I can guarantee. That Sunday is going to have Christmas all over it, the story of Jesus all over it. Everything we sing, everything we preach will point to the Savior. And so you can trust us with your friends and loved ones that day. So invite. On a second note, though, attenders and members, I'm popping up a QR code for you right now. I give you permission right now to get your phones out. If you haven't signed up yet to start serving, we need you that Sunday. We're asking all of our people to serve one and attend one. We're doing two services that day. You're not going to miss anything. In fact, you're going to gain something by getting a chance to serve others and help us. We need you in order to help others hear and clearly hear the gospel that day. And kids, we're expecting, who knows? We've got 40 kids some weeks back there. We might have 60 that Sunday. We're gonna need help. And so go ahead and sign up to serve one and attend one. And then lastly, last announcement before I dig into Luke is on the 21st, we're going to collect our Christmas missions offering. We have missionaries in several places around the world right now who are in deep need. Some of them need transportation. Some of them need help in housing. It's been a tough year on some of our missionaries. And so we're raising some funds at the end of the year to help them. And so be prepared, plan to give back to the Lord. It is, after all, Jesus' birthday, so let's give him a gift this season, because I know what he wants. He wants the nations to hear. And so bring your friends. Let's celebrate the birth of Christ together in a few weeks. Now, we're digging into the book of Luke today in the very first chapter in a message that we've called the Annunciation. That's a word I know we don't use a whole lot, but it's kind of a formal word for a big announcement. A big announcement occurs in Luke chapter 1, the biggest, I would argue, the biggest announcement that has ever happened in human history and will ever happen until Christ comes again. This announcement is this wild moment where the angel Gabriel shows up to this teenage girl and says, "You're about to have the Savior of the world." Do I have any teenage girls in the room this morning? Imagine that. Imagine an angel appearing to you and saying, "Hey, you're about to give birth to the Savior of the world," and you know good and well, that's impossible. There's no way that's happening to me. And that's what's happening in our story today. Birth announcements can be a whole lot of fun, right? I've seen some good ones lately. Some of you have done some pretty incredible things. Like, it used to be just like people would pop balloons and like one would be blue and one would be pink and cool stuff like that. I think, Brother Marcus, I think you threw a baseball or something and made something explode and found out you were having a boy, which was a very manly way to find out you were having a boy. And just been some really great ones like that. I love that. And people have, it should be fun, right? These gender reveals. It's such a pleasure to finally say or send it in the mail, "Hey, we're having a baby." And some of you know, just it was even more dramatic for some of you. It took longer. Maybe there were problems. And being able to announce that was huge for you. And that's normally the case. Yet for Mary, this was a scandal. You understand what I'm saying to you? This is an issue. When the angel comes and tells her this, it took her a while for her to feel joy about this, because this announcement comes as a shock. It didn't come in the mail. It didn't come through social media or some new normal avenue of information. It comes through a spooky angel, and she's like 13. newly betrothed, just been promised to Joseph in marriage, and she's never been with a man. This makes no sense. This is very serious. Like Mary, though, many of us, we struggle to understand what God wants in our lives, right? This is a surprise to her, certainly a confusing time for her. A lot of us are in a very same boat. We don't understand what God wants and how that is a significant part of our lives. We look at our resumes as Mary kind of does, as you'll see. You know, who am I? What have I done to deserve this, you know? That's what she's thinking. We think the same thing. We're just like her. What about my resume? What about my past mistakes? What about my mess, my limitations, my weaknesses? How in the world could, some of you are saying this today, how in the world could God possibly use me? Okay, Jonathan, you want me to bring my friends and my family and my coworkers to come hear the gospel, but you think they're going to listen to me? Yeah, I think they're definitely going to listen to you. Probably more likely than them listening to me because I'm not normal. They think I'm something, he is the church or something, which I'm just, you know, I hate to break it to people. I'm just another broken man like the rest of us. How in the world, my limitations, my mistakes, how could God use me? I'm nothing special. That's how Mary feels. That's how we feel. But I have great news today. The great news of Luke chapter 1 is this. The angel Gabriel shows up and says to Mary, he says, "Oh, favored one." Why does he say it? Is it because she's incredible? She's done great things? She's 13. What has she done up to this point? Perhaps she's been obedient to her parents. Perhaps she's been following in the ways of the law. Perhaps. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. We just know Gabriel shows up and says, "Oh, favored one." And I would argue, and I think many would argue, the reason for that is God shows favor to his people regardless of them. This is what it means to have grace. The word favor here is the same word we have for grace, unmerited favor. So God shows up through an angel here and shows her favor and shows you and I favor in the same way. We didn't have to qualify for it. We didn't have to earn it. In fact, we could not. This is the news of the announcement of the birth of Jesus. It comes with saying, "Dear friends, all of you in the room, God loves you and has provided a gift for you. Not because of your goodness, but because of his. Not because of your performance, but because of his grace." Amen to that, right? Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that because guess what? I'm just like you. I'm a mess. I didn't deserve this, and yet he gave. This is grace. Oh, favored one, I pray you'll hear this today. Hear it in yours. Hear it spoken to you. Oh, Jonathan. Oh, Nate. Oh, Marcus. Oh, favored one. Hear that. Hear the voice of Jesus today. God breaks through ordinary history today, as we'll see in the gospel according to Luke. Luke records that the angel Gabriel announced God's gracious favor, first to Mary and then to us, revealing this miraculous conception of God's Son. In this announcement, we can see God in the way he reveals himself, in the way he reveals his unmerited favor. I pray today that you'll be able to hear this announcement and how it reveals four ways that God has revealed his unmerited favor to you and I. So let's dig in a handful of verses today. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. It says this, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was, listen to this, greatly troubled." So you and I would be. "Greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing, listen to this, church, nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I love this, church. I want to be like Mary, and so should you. Mary says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. This is the word of God. Amen. Amen. I pray this encourages you today and challenges you where you need it. God has revealed unmerited favor to us. The first way in which he's revealed it is by the announcement of his grace. He's been announcing this kind of grace since Genesis. He's always been about it. In one passage of Scripture, in fact, it says God was planning to show us grace before the foundation of the world. He was planning to sacrifice, to show his love for us sacrificially long before he ever created. That's baffling. That's who God is to us. He has shown us grace. Now he has shown it in a more clear and specific way in the person of Jesus. Notice how Gabriel greets. He says, greetings, O favored one. I want you to hear that today for yourself. Greetings, O favored one. This word is keratao, in fact. It's from the same word charis. Some of you might have a friend named charis. That name means grace. This word then means to show grace to give unmerited favor towards. Unmerited favor. Mary hadn't necessarily done anything up to this point. God just loves and shows up for her and shows up to her. And then it starts by saying, oh, favored one. And we get this whole thing is tied around the beginning, which says in the sixth month. And you might be thinking, well, I don't know. Is that June? What are we talking about here? Are we talking about June? First of all, the Jewish calendar is different than ours, so you'd be a little off anyway. But that's not what this is speaking of here. It's actually speaking of the hint it gives us later. If you look down in verse 36, you'll also see Elizabeth has conceived a son and is in her sixth month. This is about that. In the sixth month of the womb of Elizabeth, if you will, now an angel appears to Mary. We know this because the story right before the story of Jesus' foretelling is the story of John the Baptist and his immaculate conception in a different kind of way, for she had been barren. So this is the announcement. He's saying, hey, look, in the sixth month, this is all coming around, and one of the evidences that God is going to do something miraculous for you is that God has already done miraculous things. When you go and visit your friend, your cousin or relative, we don't know exactly, we think probably a cousin, certainly a relative is what's put here. When you go and visit her, you're going to find out she's with child, and you know, you've been hearing it for years. When the family gets together, everybody goes, oh, poor Elizabeth, so sweet. Husband's a priest, but they just can't get pregnant. They just can't make a child. You've been hearing it for years. But guess what? You're going to show up over there and find out she's with child. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. So this is the evidence that is given so you can believe, hey, what's about to occur to you is going to happen. Gabriel here shows up. Gabriel only appears a few times in the Bible, and every time it's with some big news. He shows up in Daniel chapter 8 and 9 to tell Daniel some phenomenal imagery about what is to come. He shows up then again. We don't see him again until Luke, although there may be other places where it is Gabriel and his name's not mentioned. But he shows up to Zechariah and says, hey, you're about to have a child. And he's going to bring about the news of the Savior. And then he shows up, Gabriel, again to Mary in Luke chapter 1. We believe perhaps he shows up also in the dream of Joseph and Matthew, but nevertheless, he shows up with big news every time. Now he's showing up with the biggest news of all, and he's following Scripture because it says he shows up to this little girl who's still a virgin. That's purposeful. It's not accidental. It's not just a weird piece of Scripture. It's a foretelling of something that has been coming for hundreds of years. In Isaiah chapter 7, it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Here's what the sign is. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay. I don't know how much the people were expecting such a sign. I wonder if they thought, maybe it's symbolic, you know? How can a virgin bear a son? This makes no sense. Maybe it's symbolic of something. No, it was literal. It was literal. And she's confused. I'd be confused too, right? Wouldn't you? Why me? First of all, why me? I'm young. None of this makes sense. I'm spooked. I mean, I would feel all these feelings. I've just been betrothed in marriage. That's a word we don't use a whole lot today because we don't really treat marriage in the same kind of way. A betrothal was more than an engagement. It was a legally binding covenant between two people. Joseph and Mary had been given to one another legally. This was a binding contract. And so for her to say, yes, let it be unto me, also meant her saying, this is a scandal. I'm about to have a baby and I don't understand all of this. And what's Joseph going to think? This is a mess. In the first century, Jewish tradition was, you know, betrothal was the first stage of marriage. And after this, Joseph, the groom here, he's going to spend some time preparing a home for his bride. Part of his task was getting ready for the wedding, getting ready to take care of this girl. The common thing in the day was the betrothal for a girl was somewhere around 13, 14, for the man somewhere around 18, because he would have had to at least be of age to really care for. And so this is the case here. Now, you might think, ew, that's kind of gross. You might be thinking, that's strange. That's because we have created something in modern culture called adolescence, which did not exist 100 years ago. I'm not sure. I'll say it a different way. I'm confident it's not a good thing. We're teaching our children to be children until they're 30. This isn't great. Do we need to go back to this tradition? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I just want you to know a 13-year-old girl in the first century would have looked a little bit more like a 20-year-old girl in modern days. In the way that she behaved, she would know how to cook, clean, take care of things. She had siblings she's been taken care of. She was one of the key workers in her family's house. Would have been far more mature than most of our little 13-year-olds. And that's no offense to you parents. We're all struggling with that together. But I just want you to acknowledge something. This was a different situation. It says of Joseph, in fact, that he was of the house of David. What's interesting about these two individuals is both of them are from the house of David. This is very important. The line of Jesus is both spiritually, legally, of the line of David, which means he's the king of Judah. And it's physically of the line of David. This Jesus is the Messiah prophesied in every way. It says of Mary, she was greatly troubled. But then she reacts appropriately later. You know, God's grace and his faith, they show up to us perhaps at first very troubling. I imagine for some of you today, it feels that way, you know. What am I supposed to do with this news that God himself loves me? Maybe you've not seen a lot of evidence of that in your life, but it is true. O favored one, he sent his son to die on a cross for your sake, not just mine, not just the thousands before us, for you. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. Who does he love? The whole world. He loves you, O favored one. But the next step is, what do I do with this? It shows up and troubles us. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You won't hear me or anyone else get up on this stage and say, look how great we are that we get to walk in Christ. No. Look how great he is that I get to walk in him. This is amazing. I didn't deserve it. He did everything. The Apostle Paul here reminds us that God operates with all of us. Just as Mary was the recipient of this favor, all of us are recipients of salvation that we did not deserve. So step one, my friend, step one is this. Sure, you can be troubled. Sure, you can be confused, but listen to the words of Scripture today. God loves you, O favored one, has sent his son for you, has died on account of your sin, and it is paid for. By faith, believe and receive. It'd be a real shame to hear this wonderful announcement, the biggest announcement of all time, and just say, whatever. I mean, you do that. You can do that all day when your neighbors and when your family members, when your friends send you things in the mail that say, "Oh, wait, we're getting married soon." That announcement, or "Oh, we're about to have a baby." And go, "Oh, that's nice." This isn't like that, friend. This announcement is eternal, has an eternal value, and is life changing. There's nothing like this. I pray you won't dismiss it. Imagine winning some kind of prestigious award, like suddenly you get the Nobel Peace Prize, or you get an Olympic gold medal sent in the mail to you. All of us would be going, "What in the world?" Jonathan Combs, you know, fastest in the 400 meter in Paris or wherever. It was Paris, I think. I get that in the mail and go, "There's been a mistake, you know. I think something's happened here." All of us would be so confused by that. This is the kind of news that's happening to you and me today. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This is the news that first came to Mary and now comes to you. You have won the lottery. You've won. And what did you do? Nothing. Step one is over. Is looking at it and going, "Wow, why me?" But looking past that and going, "It's not about me. He's a good God." Now, does this mean I continue living in the way I live? No, 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 no. That's not at all. There's more to the story than that. But it starts here, friend. It starts with this: by faith, "Thank you, God. I receive it. Now I want to be obedient under it, because that will change my life." The simple answer is this: grace. Stop trying to earn it. Stop trying to earn His love. Stop trying to earn the love from others and trying to be something, make something of yourselves outside of the will of God. No, come to Christ today. Here's the second way. The second way in which God reveals His unmerited favor: by the advent of His Son. Another cool word here, Advent. This is the season of Advent. God reveals His favor to us by telling us, "Guess what? I'm sending you a boy. I'm sending you a person." I'm thankful for this, church. This isn't some abstract idea. The message of faith in Christ Jesus is a person. It's not some kind of, "Hey, come to a place of nirvana." It's not some kind of strange way of getting it. No, it's come to a man named Jesus. Look upon the cross and say, "I need that too." It is tangible. It is physical. He interacted with the very world He created. He didn't do something way foreign. He said, "I'm coming." This is what the incarnation is all about, the advent of His Son. He said, "I'm sending a boy, and His name will be Jesus." This name itself means Yahweh saves, Jehovah saves. In fact, it's the same name as our dear friend Joshua, who we've hired recently. Great name, too powerful for any man. So good luck with that name. Joshua literally is the same name in Hebrew as Yeshua, which means Jesus, or God saves, Jehovah saves. Great name. This isn't just any baby announcement. This is a prophetic voice that has telling us now, guess what? The Savior who you've always needed, He's showing up to rescue you. And the King you've always needed is coming to righteously rule. Hallelujah. Receive that today. His name is Jesus. His name will be great. He gives us all these symbolic words here. He says, "The Son of the Most High." This goes back to tons of scripture. "The throne of His father David." We already talked about this, both legally and biologically. He inherits the throne of David. He is in the line of Judah. He has the right to a throne. But there's something different about His throne. You know, God promises David, "Hey, someone's going to sit on the throne of David forever." But This one, this kingdom will never have an end. Look at that in verse 33. Telos is the word there in the Greek. It means eternal, a thing that will never finish. Now, I find that when I stare over in that place, I get a little bit of a brain hurt. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. A little bit of, you know, that hurts me a little bit to go, how long is eternity exactly? Well, good luck with that question. That place makes me go, I'm getting confused. I don't know what God's going to be up to for all of eternity, but I know this: on this side of heaven, we can believe and hope in a kingdom that will never end. And what He's going to have us doing, I'm only excited about. I think no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nothing. We can't possibly imagine it. It's beyond good, though. This was according to the promise that God had first to David. This is a long-answered prophecy. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 7, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This is the news that is now being answered. So there's really two questions now that we're trying to answer. So we've got four questions in a way to answer. We've answered the first one, which is, what do I do with this announcement? I receive it. The grace of Christ, yes, I want it. The second one is this. Hey, the Son who saves the world, the King, the Most High, the one who's taking the throne of his Father, have you made the decision that Jesus is King? Oh, I'm good with him being Savior. This is a wonderful thing for us as believers, as the church, to come in here and interact with, because it's really easy for most people to say, hey, I know I need a rescue. I'm happy to have this Jesus who can save me from my sins. But do I want this same Jesus to be King? There's plenty of you in the room right now, and myself included at times, who are saying, hey, thank you for who you are to me, setting me free. But how often do I say, thank you for righteously ruling in my life and pointing at things sometimes and saying, hey, Jonathan, that right there, you got to cut that out. That is not who we are. The way you're speaking to your friends, to your loved ones, the way you speak, not okay. Oh, you know, a little curse word here or there. No, I'm not about that. This is what Christ is doing in my life. Hey, the way you just thought, I know no one else knows what you just thought, but I saw it. Can we talk about that? Hey, is Jesus King of your life? Have you made the determination? I'm not my own ruler. This throne, if it were a throne at all, I'm not sitting on it. Jesus is King. Gabriel said there's a kingdom coming that will never end. It will never fade, and you are not its king. I think if I took a tally today and asked everybody who wants to go to heaven, I imagine if you were willing to raise your hand, you'd probably say, sign me up for the up. I don't want to go down. Most of you are good with that. What if I follow that question up by saying, yeah, but in that place you aren't king. You good with eternity with someone that is the true king? That isn't you. Isn't even someone you interact with, you know, physically every day. It's not your spouse, it's not your parents, it's not the person you love most in this life. No, none of us are king. I just want you to get this perspective in mind. Hey, sign me up for heaven. Yeah, but heaven's a place where Christ is king. You sure? I am. Here's the third way in which God has showed us his unmerited favor: by assurance of his power. This is a very mysterious piece of scripture here. We see in a few verses, it says, the 34 through 37, Mary asks a very good question. I don't blame her at all for this question. She says, how in the world is this possible? For I'm a virgin, all right? Don't get me wrong, I'm young, Gabriel, but I don't think I've done the right stuff, right? I shouldn't be pregnant. How is this going to happen? And the Holy Spirit gives some very powerful words here, which might be strange to you, but I promise you this, they are loaded with meaning. It says, in fact, that the Spirit of God will overshadow you. This is a great piece of scripture, one that reflects back to so many symbolic moments in the Old Testament. And then he goes on to say, hey, and you, when you go see Elizabeth, and he doesn't right out say it, but I get the impression he's saying, hey, you need to go pay her a visit because guess what? She's having a baby. And that's literally what Mary does next. Goes and visits, and you're going to find out she's no longer barren. She's having a son, and I do all things. Nothing's impossible with me. The prophet Jeremiah echoes this truth of God's power. In Jeremiah chapter 32, he says, ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Nothing's impossible. Mary says, hey, I don't get this. How's this going to happen? This makes no sense to me. The Spirit of God is going to overshadow you. This word overshadow appears many times in the Old Testament like a cloud. you see the cloud of God's glory resting over the tabernacle. It's a very similar word in a Hebraic way. This cloud overshadows the tabernacle. There's this other place, and I think this may be the most accurate one that Luke is pointing to. It says that the ark was overshadowed by a cloud of glory. You can see this in Exodus chapter 25. This caused a lot of early Christians to say something compelling. This was a learning for me this week. Honestly, I had not heard this before, but man, what a valuable lesson Luke's trying to teach. The early Christians saw Mary as a kind of ark. The word overshadowed here, the shadowed by a cloud of glory, is meant to point us to the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant carried the written word of God. Mary carried the incarnate word of God. This is how Christianity has seen it. What a beautiful image. Now, did Mary experience this? Was there emotion? Was there feeling involved? We don't know. You know what I've noticed here about the writer Luke? He didn't mention it, which meant you and I, we were curious. We'd love to know. What did she, experience something and then go, oh, I think, whew, I don't know. We'll have to ask her. Those of us who go into glory where Christ is king, perhaps we'll get a moment at some point to say, Mary, what was that like? Because I can't picture it. Luke doesn't go there. Instead, what we see is this beautiful imagery of the cloud of glory first over the ark and now over the person Mary. Today, God wants us to abide in the Spirit of Christ. This is the third thing going on. Will you receive the announcement? Will you hear it and say, yes, unto me, let it be. Christ is king, absolutely. I will be obedient. You are ruler in my life, yes. And now I'm going to abide in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, all of this isn't going to make a lot of sense every day. There's going to be times, guess what? God doesn't immediately, when you come to Christ, he doesn't immediately pluck you up out of the world of sin. He doesn't do it. It's not how it works at all. In fact, sometimes things get harder. I don't know if anybody else has observed this. The more you commit yourself to Christ, sometimes the odds get tougher. Now, I don't know exactly why he does this or allows this, but it's the case. So he doesn't immediately pluck you out of your problems. Instead, he empowers you to face them. You might have this whole thing twisted anyway, where you're thinking, hey, when I come to Christ, things are going to get easy. That's never been promised. No, things are going to get meaningful. Don't be surprised by this at all, friends. He set you apart, O favored one, for a purpose. Where you are in your work, where you are in your family, where you are in your life right now, he's not plucking you out of there. He's empowering you to be a lighthouse right there. He desires you where you are. It's purposeful. He wants you to bear witness. This is what Mary's life becomes. A light of the gospel. An ark of the incarnate word. And here's the fourth and final way that God reveals his unmerited favor. By affirmation of his word. Now, I could spend the rest of the day talking about God affirming his word over and over again. But this is the nature of the announcement to Mary, is the prophecies you've heard as a little girl up till now, I'm answering most of them. There's some stuff still left out there for Christ's return and the end of days and all of that, but so much of the prophecy of the Messiah is occurring now, Mary. And for us, it's happened. He's affirmed his word. And then guess what Mary does? She affirms his word. Friends, I've got great news for you today. It's not all that complex. Walking in Christ Jesus, yeah, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not even saying that, you know, there won't be times where you're confused like Mary or even troubled like Mary. That's life. But it is simple in this way, that the words Mary says here are the simple words required of us. I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be unto me. Let it be unto me. Oh, Jonathan, I want you to go to Rocky Mountain. I want you to plant a church. It was almost that clear. It was close. And I said, pass. I'm good. I did, actually. I took another church for a season. I wasn't here in Rocky Mount at the time. I was hearing, hey, Jonathan, be a church planner. I had been hearing that. And I said, yeah, no, I think I need more time, God. I'm going to go be an associate pastor somewhere else, which became an absolute catastrophe in my life. I think God allowed all that. I do, genuinely. And I fought it, and I fought it. And some of you have done this. You've been fighting the will of God. Maybe it hasn't been as plain as that, but there have been times where God said, hey, I want you to go speak to that person. Hey, when you go home for the holidays, I want you to talk to your dad about this. Hey, when you get back home this week, I want you to look at your mom and say, I forgive you. I like this sermon until now. It's getting weird now. I want you to call your kids today and say, hey, I know we've been through a lot. I want you to know I love you. And I don't want there to be this between us. God says stuff like that to us all the time. Hey, that thing you've been doing, you did it last night. You're trying to squeak into church today and pretend nothing happened, but something happened. Hey, me and you need to deal with that. This has got to die. God, that's how he interacts with my sin, friends. He doesn't say, hey, you need to probably kind of chill out. He says, you need to kill that. That part of you, not okay. Kill it. Can we do it next week, God? I need my comfort. I don't want to forgive, not today. I need to hold on to this bitterness. It's all I have. Now, Mary, I want you to hear this, friends. Mary gets it right. And a lot of times little 13-year-olds get it right because they're so, sometimes so genuine. She says, I love what the King James says about this. Just hear this. The King James Version says of this line, behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. The handmaid of the Lord. That's what we are. The word here is doulos. It means slave. God, I am yours. I am your servant. I am your slave. You do according to your purpose. You made me for a reason. Here's the great news, friends. He made you for a purpose in this life. And he loves you. And has set you apart for that. The response has to come from us. After witnessing Jesus heal a mute and setting him free from a demoniac, a woman then cries out. Look at this story in Luke chapter 11. It says, as he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You know, there's a habit for us to look and praise others. No, he says, hey, no, hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus again and again redirects attention. I want you to hear something very plain today. This isn't something that we deal with a whole lot inside of the church, but Mary is an amazing person in Scripture. She absolutely is. I think it's fine that we sing songs like Mary, Did You Know? And things about the Magnificat, which is this wonderful poetry here in the book of Luke. But here's something also that Christians should be very, very aware of. We worship the incarnate Word of God, who is Jesus, not the Ark. Okay? The Ark of the Covenant, the people of God didn't worship the Ark of the Covenant. They worshiped what was in it. They worshiped the Holy Spirit's residing upon it. We are the same. We do not worship the one who brought the Son, although she is amazing. She's a wonderful person. Much like the disciples and the apostles, these are people that we should say, wow, God did wonders. But who do we worship? God, Christ Jesus, his Son. Let me end by helping you ponder this with me. Here's what Mary does that I pray you'll do today. And don't play around with this anymore. Here's what she does. She writes God a blank check. Here's what you and I would really like to do. We'd like to get our life checkbook out and say, God, I want to have a really pretty wife and really smart kids who are obedient and a job that pays well and a boss that isn't a jerk. You know what? I'd like some days off too. You know, I would like that kind of job. You know, and God, you go ahead and, if you will, you go ahead and sign that. That's how we'd like to write the check. right? And we've been writing this check for a long time. It's not how Mary writes it. She hands over a check that has nothing in the memo line, and she just signs it. Write what you want, God. This is why I would say she's highly favored, and you and I are highly favored. We don't say, hey, my life is not my own, it is yours. In fact, the writers of the New Testament say, you are not your own, you were bought with a price. Will you today, some of you need to take the first step and say, Christ Jesus, I need you to save me. I need a rescue. I'm going to sign my name here. Free me. And then you start filling in the memo line. Friend, I pray you'll do this today. Forgive those who need it. Reconcile to those who need it. Go where God has sent you. Say yes where God has said, I want to be your Lord and Savior. Make me your king. Yes. I sign on the bottom line. Be unto me. I love this line. Pray it with Mary today. I pray you will. Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. What is God asking of you today? Where is he asking you to forgive or to give generously? Where is he asking you to move? Let's pray now together, church. Heavenly Father, we ask. We ask that you would give us the grace necessary to follow through on the things you've called us to. We first of all come to you saying, we praise you. We love you. We're thankful that God, what you did was love us first. The story of the gospel isn't, hey, mankind got it right. No, the story of the gospel is God, you love and you give and you sacrifice. Thank you, God, for who you are. I'm asking now, Lord Jesus, would you help me to receive that fully? I want to be like Mary today. I want to say, be unto me as you have said, according to your word. Whatever it is you ask of me, Lord, I will do. You say jump, I say how high. You say go, I say where. Let's go. God, I pray for that kind of faith, first for myself and then for your people, your church. And I know that if we become these kinds of people, you will set a city free. I believe that. I just believe that wholeheartedly. That when the people of God say yes and write blank checks to God, the community is reached. And it could start here right now. God, can I pray that boldly? Lord, I just pray that boldly now. There's people all in this room that are inviting friends, that are hoping to bring others, that are praying for loved ones. God, would you save them this season? Use our church, sure, I'd love to see that. Let us be a beacon of hope. But Lord, in whatever way you see fit, bring people to salvation in this church and with this church. God, please. We're here really for that main purpose, first to glorify you, but then to bring others in alignment with you. That's our purpose, to make disciples who love you. That's all we want to be. That's all we want to do. God, I recognize that someone is coming in here today. And they need to take step one. I pray, Lord, they're ready today to say yes, to begin to write a blank check. Say, God, I've been trying to live on my own. I've been trying to do things my way. It's not working. I need a rescue. If that's you, my friend, today, pray a simple prayer of confession with me. It says in the book of Romans chapter 10 that when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. It's a simple prayer of confession, but it's life-changing. If you're ready to say that with me today, pray these words. Lord Jesus, I believe today that you died on the cross for my sin, that you rose from the grave to conquer death for us all. And Lord Jesus, I'm prepared today to make you king, king of my life. I know you're already king of all things. I want you to be king in my life. Lord God, now would you guide me in the ways you've called me. I just want to lift up a simple prayer like Mary. Behold, your servant, let it be unto me according to your word. Dear friend, if you prayed that with me just now, you've made a huge, huge leap in what God's doing in your life. Get ready. He's got wonder in store for you like you couldn't imagine. There's also trouble. There's also up and down hills. God, I pray right now that you would encourage their faith, that you would embolden them, that you would show them how to walk with you. Do that in all of us, Lord Jesus. I pray this morning you would embolden our faith. Help us to walk in step with your goodness and with your guidance. Help us to be your church wherever we go this week, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.